You have put a new song in my mouth. A song of praise. A sound that resonates, that all of heaven and earth may worship you. We tread the hills to meet with you, to see your majesty in all that surrounds us. For it speaks and displays the eternal God of ages, creator, author, victor. In love, you established an everlasting covenant with your people, and it's your love that captivates us. As children of the King, we rush in as waves unrestrained, overcome, overwhelmed, that the King crowned in glory and splendor would reach down to place a crown upon our heads. So we raise our banner, the banner we boldly stand under, the banner of Jesus Christ. From dusk to dawn, from age to age, your praise resounds in all the earth. Deliverer, Redeemer, ruler of an everlasting kingdom that cannot be shaken. We trust in the name of Christ Jesus, the only King, forever.
Welcome to Zion's Redemption Radio. This is Fundamentally Mormon. I'm your host, Mark Lichtenwalter. The guest call-in number is 917-889-8827. That's 917-889-8827. You can find this at blogtalkradio.com/fundamentallymormon. And the text will also be posted on my Facebook wall at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. You can also find the text and the audio to this radio program on iTunes at Fundamentally Mormon and in the different Facebook groups that I am an admin of. Some of those groups are LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussions, LDS Gospel Mysteries, Latter-day Unity, and others. You can find the pages that I admin also on my Facebook wall. And if you enjoy this program, please friend request me or follow me and make me one of your close friends. We try to put out as many episodes as we can during the week. But I'm thankful for you to be here today. Let's get right into the reading today. We are going to be reading out of Ogden Kraut's books. You can find his books for free to read online at ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. That's ogdenkraut.com. And tonight we'll be reading Abraham, the Father of Kings, Chapter 4 of the Kingdom of God, Volume 1. We'll be reading pages 24 through 30. And like I said, the text is on my Facebook wall at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. If I've got too many friends to accept any more friend requests, just you can follow me. And I've got several hundred followers and almost 5,000 friends. So, all right, here we go. And I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations out of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Bereshit, or Genesis chapter 17, verse 6. Many of today's modern Christians believe that Abraham lived in a pagan society and was raised by a pagan household and embraced some personal pagan ideals. They assume that he did not know much about the gospel of Christ, its principles, or priesthood. However, in 1879, John Taylor countered that argument when he said, quote, "And we come again to another prominent character, that is Abraham, a very remarkable man in his day and age, although at the present time men look upon him as a kind of an old shepherd, a man that attends flocks and herds and sheep and sorts a sort of herdsman and a shepherd, and there was very little of him anyhow except that he had lived in his day almost as a barbarian. That is the opinion that many men have formed of him, that he was something like our backwoodsmen or some of our sod farmers who have not mixed up with the elite of society or made themselves familiar with the intelligence that pervades the world. I look upon him as another character entirely, and from information that we can gather from the revelations that have been referred to, we find that there was something very peculiar about him. We read his history, and we find that he was a man that was sought after righteousness, that he desired to obtain more righteousness, and that he examined the records of his fathers, and he found in examining the records, tracing them back through the flood, a clear way back to Adam's day. We're on page 25 for those of you following along. He found many circumstances that were connected with man, kind not only to Adam's day, but before the world was. In doing this, among other things, he found he had a right to the priesthood. That was John Taylor, Journal of Discourses, volume 21, page 159. We also know, and we'll get into this later, but that Abraham was one of the grandsons of Noah, of course. I mean, who wasn't back then? But he knew Noah personally, and he knew like Shem, which is Melchizedek, according to the book of Jasher. So continuing on with the reading. But seeking after righteousness, gaining a knowledge of his ancestry, and desiring to be worthy to receive the priesthood were not the only great attributes of Abraham. The Lord, Jehovah our Elohim, promised him, I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come up out of thee. Bereshit, Genesis chapter 17, verse 6. And the Lord, Jehovah, gave the same promise to his grandson, Jacob, or Jacob. See Bereshit, Genesis chapter 36, verse 11. In fact, all the promises made to Abraham were also offered to his posterity. Now, how could his posterity become kings in the kingdom of God unless he himself became one of those kings? George Q. Cannon expressed it in this way, quote, and George Q. Cannon was an apostle in the LDS church back in the day. Anyway, he said, when God led forth Abraham and told him that as the stars of the firmament were innumerable, so should his seed be. He proclaimed to him the greatness of his kingdom in eternity. He told Abraham that he should be a king over this innumerable host, for if Abraham were not to be a king over them, of what use or glory would his posterity be to him? When God pointed Abraham to the sands on the seashore and told him that as it was countless, so should his seed be, he told him in accents that could not be mistaken of the future glory of his eternal kingdom. And if all mankind attained to the same promises as Abraham, they also would have an innumerable posterity to reign over, as the prophet says concerning our Lord and Savior Yeshua Mashiach, or Jesus the Christ, to the increase of his kingdom there shall be no end. That was George Q. Cannon, an apostle in the LDS Church, and we're quoting the Journal of Discourses, volume 14, page 128. Abraham understood what the kingdom of God was, how it operated, and even taught it to others, most of whom rejected it. Brigham Young substantiates this when he said, and we're on page 26 for those of you reading along. This is Brigham Young. It is true, they say, that in the days of Moses, the Lord did once send a messenger to preach the gospel to the children of Israel. But our master had only such power in their midst that they would not receive the kingdom. In the days of Abraham also, long before the days of Moses or Moshe, Jehovah revealed, the Lord, revealed the principles of the kingdom, but they would not have them. Journal of Discourses, Volume 11, page 303. And we look back upon those people and say, oh, they wouldn't accept the gospel. They just rejected it. Well, what do you think you're doing as a church body when you just reject plural celestial marriage, law of adoption, rebaptism, you know, United Orders, law of consecration, all of these things that you know about or that you should know about because they're all part of the restoration, but you just don't accept them. You make up excuses and you say, oh, that's for another people, or that was for those guys back then and not for us now, or I'll worry about it. We'll live that way in some other world, in some other place, in some other time. You know, and you make all kinds of excuses, but you don't accept the gospel as it was restored to us in our dispensation. We look back upon them and condemn them, but we can't see our own iniquity. What does iniquity mean in Hebrew? The word for iniquity means to depart from the path God has laid out for you. If God has laid out a certain way to do things, like the endowment, then that is the way it's supposed to be done, not to be changed. If the gospel is laid out, is restored a certain way, like the whole fact of Jehovah and Yeshua or Jesus being two separate individuals, then we change it. That is iniquity. That's something worse than iniquity. If in the endowment we are told that Jehovah is instructed by the Elohim, not some fictitious person named Elohim, but the Elohim, to take Jehovah, or the Jehovah to take Michael to create the earth, and then Jehovah says, Michael, go create the earth, and Michael says, it shall be done, and he's the creator, Michael, not Jehovah. Jehovah shows him how to do it, but Michael says, it will be done. We learn this in the endowment, right? Then, as Joseph Smith taught, God the Father, another name for God the Father is God the Creator. Well, that's the Adam God doctrine, which is still taught in your temples in the endowment. But you change everything. You go into iniquity, which is to depart from the gospel and depart from the path. And you call yourself a blessed people. But the problem is, the more that God gives you, the more accountable you are to what God gives you. And that's why Brigham Young said in the last days, Salt Lake would be among the most wicked cities on the earth. And it's not because of all of the crime and all of the stuff that's going on there. And that is part of it. But it's because that we as a people have been given so much. And we reject it. And we make excuses as to why we don't live it. And that is wickedness. We twist the things of God and twist them into Babylon the Great, and we just pat ourselves on the back and say, all is well in Zion. And Nephi had a warning for us. And anyway, I'm not going to get into that. I'll get back into the reading. Many Christians today do not believe that Abraham had the gospel because they assume there was no gospel before the Messiah, Christ, came to the earth. However, the Apostle Paul clarified that this belief was incorrect. According to the prophet Joseph Smith, quote, it will be noticed that according to Paul, see Galatians chapter 3, verse 8, the gospel was preached to Abraham. We would like to be informed in what name the gospel was then preached. whether it be in the name of Christ or in the name of Messiah, and Christ drives me nuts. Christ is a Greek word that means anointed or covered with oil. Messiah means so much more. And the fact that we use Christ instead of Messiah or Mashiach, Messiah is actually an Aramaic word that means the same thing as Mashiach, which is the Hebrew version of Messiah. And, you know, that's the Hebrew version of Christ. But anyway, Kim, do you want to get out Galatians chapter 3, verse 8?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Okay, when I'm done reading this quote, I'm going to have my...
I'm
going to
call those tonight.
Oh, yeah, you probably should. Do you want me to add you?
Hold on, I'm going to call in.
No, just hold on. Okay, I'm going to add my wife real quick. So just hold on, it'll just be a second.
Okay.
Let's see. Okay, now I'm not on hold. So you can hear Kim, I think, but I don't know if Kim, just read that again, because I was on hold and I don't know if I merged the calls right. I don't think they did.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Okay, Kim's going to read the Galatians chapter 3, verse 8.
Okay. We're going to go back. Okay. Galatians 3, verse 8 says, "And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed," end quote.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So the thing that drives me nuts about this is, like, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He didn't just create this plan and not know how it was all going to work out. He knew the plan of salvation before Jesus Christ was in the world. So why couldn't he preach it to his prophets beforehand? He did. So people that are like, well, they didn't know. Yeah, they did. They actually did. Okay, because they're called prophets, seers, and revelators, and they were given it. And Abraham, he said, Jesus said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced. Oh, my gosh, he saw his day. Yeah, because he was a prophet, seer, and revelator. I just don't understand why people can't get that through their thick skulls. I think a lot of you understand that, but maybe it's just the secular world or the Christians. They drive me nuts. Anyway, let's go on. If Abraham had the gospel, did he then have the priesthood? The answer to this has to be affirmative. As the prophet Joseph Smith informed us, quote, and this is Joseph Smith, Abraham says to Melchizedek, and that's Shem, the son of Noah, Abraham says to Melchizedek, I believe all that thou hast taught me concerning the priesthood and the coming of the Son of Man. So Melchizedek, ordained Abraham and sent him away. Abraham rejoiced, saying, now I have a priesthood. Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 322. Certainly a man who holds a higher priesthood and honors it is a member of the kingdom of God. His mission then is to teach others and bring them into the kingdom. Page 27. We also know that Abraham was chosen before he was born to be a great king and priest in the kingdom of God. And Abraham knew this himself as he was shown it in a vision. And remember, Abraham was one of the noble and great ones. And in the hierarchy of things, they're like the 70s. So it's kind of like the church. You have a first presidency. That's the God the Father, the Creator, God the Redeemer, who is Yeshua, and God the Witness, or the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh. Under them, there are 12 who are mighty and strong. They are generals in the armies of heaven. Under them, there are the noble and great ones. They're like the 70 apostles. Oh, my gosh, 70 apostles? What is that? Well, when the church was originally organized, the 70s were called apostles. Yeah, for real, they were. So, and I wish that more people knew about the history of the church, but, you know, that you get things through the correlated committee department, and they want to whitewash and cover everything up, which is unfortunate. But that's why I'm here, because I'm going to make sure it's exposed and show you where it's at and all that kinds of stuff. Anyway, if you want to know more about the 70, there is a book that Ogden wrote that he compiled a ton of stuff. It's called The 70, and you can find it at ogdenkraut.com. All right. God saw these souls, that they were good, and he stood in the midst of them, and he said, "These I will make my rulers," for he stood among those that were in spirit, and he saw that they were good. And he said unto me, "Abraham, thou art one of them. Thou wast chosen before thou wast born." Pearl of Great Price, Abraham, chapter 3, verse 23. The also Journal of Discourses, volume 23, page 185. Abraham was chosen to be a ruler in the kingdom of God, and he would also rule over other leaders in that kingdom. In addition to the above, Abraham saw Yeshua, or Jesus, and his day in a vision, for Christ said to the Jews, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad." John chapter 8, verse 56. That's like I was saying earlier. God shows things to prophets, seers, and revelators in the future. Abraham saw Yeshua. The same way that Isaiah saw Yeshua coming in the meridian of time, and Isaiah and Ezekiel, they saw the Davidic servant coming in the last days. They saw a whole bunch of stuff, right? Because they're prophets. And God knows the end from the beginning, and he knows it's going to happen before we know it's going to happen. In fact, he can see it. Anyway, continuing on. Did you have any reading or any comments, Kim?
No, do you want me to read for you?
I'm good. If you want to read, you can read, but I'm good for now.
Yeah, I think it's weird when I'm on mute or when I'm talking and I can hear myself talking.
Okay, Kim's listening. I'm good for right now, which is kind of weird because I got up before the alarm clock. Before the alarm clock went off at 6 o'clock this morning, and I went to work at 7, and then I worked all day long. And then I had a coolant leak, and I fixed it. And I had to come back to the yard, and I got a bunch of stuff so that if the patch didn't work, I could fix it. And then, let's see, I left here about 5, I think. I got down and found out that the coal mine was red-lighted, so we had to go to a coal yard, where there was about 10 billion trucks in one loader. So we were waiting in line for a very long time, and I get paid by the load, so that just is not fun. Anyway, so I got going after I got loaded, and I was like, well, I guess I'm just going to do this one load and go home. Well, not so fast, Buster, because that patch that I put on earlier that I stopped by the house and took a shower because I was covered in grease and oil for doing it, well, it didn't hold. Anyway, so I had a 16-hour day, and I didn't even make it back to the yard. I parked the truck in front of my house, and I was covered in coolant because I had to replace this 3.5-inch hose on the bottom of the and 10 gallons of radiator fluid all over me and all over my shirt and all over my garments and all over my back and all over my everywhere. And my wife says I got a rash on my back because of all this. Anyway, I did get it fixed. But, and you know, I bragged a little bit yesterday how I was, like, fine and everything. And then right after I bragged, I started falling asleep. So maybe I shouldn't brag. Anyway, all right, let's get into this. Abraham also had a great knowledge of the universe, most of which he obtained in vision. That's how God shows people things. So, Joseph Smith stated, the learning of the Egyptians and their knowledge knowledge of astronomy was no doubt taught them by Abraham and Joseph, as their records testify, who received it from Yehovah, our Elohim, or the Lord. Teaching of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 200. The visionary and prophetic powers of Abraham were no doubt given to him through the instrument called the Urim and Thummim, which he acknowledged was in his possession. Quote, and this is Abraham chapter 3, verse 4. And I, Abraham, had the Urim and Thummim, which the Lord my God had given unto me in the Ur of the Chaldees. Abraham 3, verse 1. And also, the Lord said unto me by the Urim and Thummim that Kolob was after the manner of Jehovah or the Lord. Abraham 3, verse 4. We're on page 28. Go ahead, Kim. I'll mute myself and you can read. Oh, she's not ready. I'm good. Yeah. Are you unmuted?
No, not yet.
So nobody can hear what you're saying?
Yes.
So I'm just laughing at myself. I'm laughing at my imaginary voice that loves me. I think she loves me. Are you unmuted?
No.
Why aren't you unmuted?
I can't hear
things. Okay, I'm just going to read.
I know.
You want me to read?
I have to find it again.
Okay, I love you. Okay, I will read this next page. We're on page 28. He was shown all of this world. No, I will read this one last page, and then you can read the last page.
Okay.
Does that work for you? You're there now?
Yes. That part.
Okay, you can read it. I'm going to mute myself.
Okay. I had unmute, and now I'll go back in. Okay, page 28. He was shown all of this world and how it was connected with God's kingdom, and also many other worlds and parts of the universe which also pertain to his kingdom. The scope of Abraham's kingly realm is amazing. One of the great promises of God to Abraham was that through him and his seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. That's Abraham chapter 2, verse 11. This is one of the greatest blessings ever given to a man. And according to Joseph Smith, another was that, quote, all children are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and the moment that children leave this world, they are taken to the bosom of Abraham, end quote. And that's in Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, page 197. To show how far-reaching Abraham's kingly and patriarchal authority extends, John Taylor explained, who were Moses and Aaron? Moses led the children of Israel under the guidance and direction of the Almighty, with a mighty hand and stretched out arm, and delivered them from the hands of the Egyptians. Who were they? They were the descendants of Abraham. Who were the old prophets we read of in the Bible here? They were the descendants of Abraham. Who was Jesus, a descendant of Abraham? Who were the 12 apostles? They were the descendants of Abraham. Who were the 70 that existed in those days? They were the descendants of Abraham. What were they told to do? To damn mankind? No. To go and preach the gospel to all the world, to lift up a banner of life and salvation to the nations and call upon them to repent. Who were the Nephites that came to this continent? Lehi, Lemuel, Nephi, etc. Who were they? They were descendants of Abraham. Who were the 12 apostles that were on this continent? They were the descendants of Abraham. End quote. Journal Discourse 19. Page 80, sorry.
Okay, I want to say something real quick. There are no Gentiles in heaven, okay? In the book of Revelation, we see that there are 12 gates to go into the city of God. Each one of them are for Hebrew people. So you can become adopted into the house of Abraham, but you're not going to be there if you're just a Gentile. So I know that a lot of people think, oh, God went and preached to the Gentiles. Yeah, but they would be grafted in. So are you grafted in? I hope so. Anyway, I'll mute myself. Go ahead, Kim. Is this the last page?
This is on page 29.
Page 29. Here we go.
Wilford Woodruff also refers to the kingly and patriarchal blessings of the priesthood, including Abraham's, showing that such kingdoms were not just temporal, but eternal. This is another quote from Journal of Discourse, page 24, or volume 24, page 243, quote, "The Lord has revealed to us that no kingdom, no king, no prince, no ordinance of marriage, no ordinance performed by any man from the days of Father Adam will have any power or force after death, except those ordinances are performed by men holding the eternal priesthood. Is there a king? Is there a prince? Is there a queen? Will either when they pass the other side of the veil find a throne there? Would the Tsar, what'd you say? Yeah, Tsar of Russia. I said that, Tsar. Tsar. Was the Tsar of Russia, who was assassinated by the hands of the ungodly not long ago, when he went into the spirit world, find a throne there? No. Why? Because the kingdom of the Tsar of Russia belonged to time. When he went into the spirit world, that was the end of his kingdom and power. His kingdom had not been sealed upon his head by any man having the power and authority of the eternal priesthood. So in regard to all kingdoms and thrones, you may take Her Majesty Queen Victoria, who has reigned a long time and who is perhaps as good a sovereign as the reign as has reigned today's of William the Conqueror. When she passes behind the veil, she will find her kingdom at an end, because it was not sealed upon her head for time and eternity by any man having the authority of the holy priesthood." That's end quote from Journal of Discourse, volume 24, page 243. Regarding the greatness of Abraham, Joseph Smith summarized in the Teachings of the Prophet Joseph Smith, pages 251 and 52. Sorry. "Abraham was guided in all his family affairs by the Lord, was conversed with by angels and by the Lord, was told where to go and when to stop, and prospered exceedingly in all that he put his hand unto. It was because he and his family obeyed the counsel of the Lord." End quote. On page 30, we continue. "Abraham had been blessed above nearly all other men, i.e., number one, what? Oh, in other words, number one, he would be the father of kings. Number two, he would preside as a king over these kings. Number three, he had the high and holy priesthood and all the rights that belong to God's kings. Number four, he was promised a place in God's kingdom. And number five, he received a glorious vision of God's great work of his kingdom in the universe. There is probably no other mortal man in the Old Testament that received such great promises and blessings as did Abraham. Though not the King of Kings, he was nevertheless a King of Kings." And that's the end. So we'll be on chapter 5 next. It's page 31, chapter 5, How Abraham Became a King.
Okay, so that's the end of the reading for tonight. I'm going to just check real quick to see if we have anybody in the studio, but I don't think we will. But if we do, I'm going to bring them on. And so the studio is closed. Hold on. Let me just check it.
What you
doing? Oh, you know, I need help. Let's see here. I got to get to the studio anyway just to play the end of music. But, nope, we don't have anybody in the studio. So, and that's fine anyway, because I'll probably get up at 6 in the morning again and just start my day and start doing things. So, I should probably get to bed anyway. So, I hope you enjoyed the program. Remember, you can read the text to this at facebook.com/LAZURUS1977. You can also find the Facebook groups that I admin, like LDS Last Days Prophecy and Gospel Discussion, Latter-day Unity and Gospel Mysteries, and also the pages like Church of the Living Messiah, Latter-day Unity, Messiah Ben Yosef, different things. So anyway, thank you for watching, or not watching, for listening, and I am going to go to bed because I am exhausted. Take care. God bless everyone, and goodbye. Thank you.